I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I'm your host from 9 to 11 on weekdays, offering up a safe space to the independent thinkers out there for the few of them that are out there. You'll understand my laugh as I get into the topic of today's show. Next hour, as we do every Wednesday, we will get into health stuff with Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. I've got a pretty interesting, amazing asthma reversal strategy that your doctor will never tell you about. This was very interesting. I've got a clip from a Dr. Ken Berry. I believe he's in Tennessee. I need to get him on the show at some point, but I ran across, I don't suffer from asthma, but I'll tell you what, I've noticed probably over the past year, talking to a lot of young kids, I've had the opportunity to hire a lot of kind of high school, college age kids, and I've been... It's one of those things I'm just noticing it more because I've started to hear it repeatedly, and so I'm paying more attention to it. So many people with breathing difficulties, in particular, they say that they've got asthma. Obviously, asthma is a condition that's been around for a long time. I've known people who've had to have inhalers. But anyway, this is a nutritional strategy to reverse asthma. We'll hear what Dr. Berry recommends for this and also go into some of the comments that were left underneath his video about this. They are amazing. It was something I was not aware of. The beautiful thing about the health show every single week is that I learn something new all the time. Every time I research these topics, and I've got somewhere around 200 pages of just links to stories. This is not the text of stories. This is not a 200-page book. This is a 200-page glossary of links to actual studies and nutritional information. So I've got quite a body of information there. And I always learn something new. And then we'll also cover a little bit of stuff. There's always two tacks to what I do with the health show. One is to try to absolutely destroy your faith in the current medical establishment and institutions. And once you've finally lost faith in those, I hope that that means you understand that you have to take control of your own health. Nobody's coming to save you. No one's coming to save your children. They do not have your best interest at heart. You are a customer to them. They call you a patient. And I think patient is just... There must be some tie-in to the fact that when you get medical care, you spend a lot of time waiting. An hour in the waiting room and then 30 minutes, 45 minutes in the smaller exam room. So maybe that's why they have preconditioned you to be patient. There's got to be some connection there. But the biggest institutions, the CDC, the National Institutes of, air quotes here in the studio, health, these organizations are not about your health. They are actually taking action at the governmental level to take away things that make Americans healthier. Attacking an Amish farmer who is providing healthy food to his neighbors. The government is taking action against that. We've got 30,000 dead from the vaccine, and the pharmaceutical companies are telling their investors things have never looked better. They are Fortune 500 executives. So, as I say, there's always two tacks to the show. One is to destroy your confidence in the medical establishment, and then it is to show you the way that you can take control yourself. So we'll do that next hour. Quotes of the day today. Edward Snowden says, politics, the art of convincing decent people to forget the lesser of two evils is also evil. And this was an interesting one. I don't know who this guy is. Mark Pazio, P-A-S-S-I-O. Mark Pazio says, order followers are the equivalent of modern-day house slaves who would rather enslave their brothers and sisters than grow up, develop real courage, and think for themselves. We've seen a lot of that, haven't we? A lot of house slaves over the past couple of years. Many of them are still, they're probably mourning the loss of some of their position as people have started to leave COVID in the rearview mirror when it comes to their lives. But for 2 years, they had their moment in the sun where they loved to see other people oppressed and they felt good about themselves. You know, I was talking to Stephen Utrosky yesterday. We did a whole show, and really the theme of the show was, can the Republican Party be saved? I'm on a conservative network, so I thought that's really a topic for here. I would love to be on a left-wing radio show to explain the corruption and the insanity of the Democrat Party that does not serve its constituency in any way, shape, or form. But we're on a conservative radio show, and Republican Party is kind of the default for conservatives. You got really nowhere else to go the way they've created this system. So we talked yesterday about, can the Republican Party be saved? I'll be honest with you. I expected a more forceful defense of that idea from Stephen Utrosky. Now, he believes that the best path is to try to remake the Republican Party, and it certainly is within the ability of people to do it. They just won't. And we talked some off air, some on air, about the fact that really, the older he gets, he's younger than I am, the older he gets, the more he realizes, you know, people are really, well, they're pretty stupid. And this show is going to come off, I mean, this whole segment's going to come off really is kind of pompous and condescending. And I don't mean to be that way. I try to temper that. I try to self-examine because I've got a whole host of problems. I mean, we all do. Nothing big. I'm not hiding something from you, but you know, we all have our failings. I've got blind spots. I've made huge mistakes. I'm one of these people that, particularly when I was young, I didn't like to take advice from anybody. I like to go out and make those mistakes, sometimes repeatedly, before I learned my lesson. But I was in a laundromat yesterday washing a comforter, one of the big machines there. And so I go in and blaring on the television, and a few people paying attention to it, was one of these Maury Povich, Jerry Springer style shows. And I was captive to this thing because it was so loud within the laundromat. Nothing else you could really listen to. And so it seeped in, much as I wanted to ignore it. And I found myself kind of looking at some of the characters on this screen. It was quite amazing to look and think that these kinds of shows have now been on for decades. And it highlights, it brings on really what are some of the stupidest people I've ever seen. Yesterday was one of these shows, and it seems like anytime I run across one of these things or see a clip, or it's always about, I ain't that baby's daddy. Now, this was a bunch of what appeared to be kind of completely uneducated, really stupid, peeringly kind of middle-aged white people screaming at each other, that's not my baby, I'm going to prove it. And they bring out the DNA, I guess. They do some level of testing and see, I'm not the daddy. And the morbidly obese white woman goes to the side of the stage and she's hyperventilating because she can't believe that this guy, who must have been some prize to her, is not the dad. My point being, we've all seen these shows. I was depressed watching this and realizing that this is what our society really kind of is at this point to me. Now, I'll tell you, I operate outside of this radio show with a lot of great people, and I just spent the last 10 to 20 minutes before coming on air. There was some six-year-old kid that was playing Five Finger Death Punch does a version of Bad Company. This is a six-year-old child playing drums to this thing. It's a YouTube video. I like music. And it was just stunning to watch the talent of this six-year-old. I am a wannabe drummer. I don't currently have a kit, but I should have played drums instead of guitar in the band. I've got some sense of rhythm. I like drummers, and this came across my feed, and I clicked on it. It's this little six-year-old kid with a mohawk, and he tears it up. I don't know I could practice for the rest of my life and be as good as the six-year-old. It was amazing, and that followed on as the video got over. It was 11-year-old girl little 11-year-old black girl had issued a drum challenge to the lead singer of the Foo Fighters, Dave Grohl. And so Dave Grohl brings her on at a concert, and she plays drums with the Foo Fighters incredibly. She's 11 years old. Now, I mention that because I am fully aware that there are wonderful people in this world, incredible talent, really kind of awe-inspiring things, great accomplishments that people make. I don't get depressed on the individual level. I interact with great people all the time on a daily basis. It's as a society. As a society, we are lost. And this is the problem we have, is that I feel, and I hope that other people kind of feel this way, so the show does not come off as some, you know, some jackass who thinks everybody else is less than and he's just great, because that is not the case. I was in court one time in a custody hearing. And, you know, you go back and forth with, you know, what you do good. The other side says what you do bad. And, you know, at one point I told the judge and told the attorneys, I said, look, you know, if we want to, we can reserve 2 days in court. I'll tell you all the parenting mistakes I've made over the last, at the time it was 9 or 10 years. I said, I'm absolutely happy to admit all kinds of failings and mistakes and these kinds of things. But there was another situation that was there that said, you know, I felt kind of trumped, parenting mistakes. I am somebody who will admit my failings pretty quickly to anybody who wants to listen. So I am not sitting on some perch looking at it. But when I look at the idea, is this country savable at this point? And I am kind of in that mindset after the conversation with Stephen Utrosky yesterday. And then I find myself in front of this television watching this entertainment. It's bad enough that people are out there who live their lives in this chaos of who's my baby's daddy. And they're obviously the grammar alone was insulting. And the grammar, when shouted at the top of their lungs in this hillbilly interchange between these people, It was just, it kind of caught me. I guess I was primed after my conversation with Stephen yesterday to just think, is there any way we get out of this without a complete collapse and unable? And I am constantly reinforced by the idea when I see political movements, when I see, and I'm going to pick on this again, when I see the I did that Joe Biden stickers on the gas pumps, I'm just constantly reminded that, oh, even Republicans don't understand what's going on. Even those people who seem sane in real life, the people that would be responsible for fixing the Republican Party, even they don't understand what's going on. There's not an intellectual curiosity. There's a sure-firedness. We get on our teams. We defend them to the death without any introspection, any thought, any creativity, anything interesting. This is probably why I'm a libertarian. At least they're looking to do something different. But when it comes to Republicans or Democrats, they just go along. They just do what they've done with this assuredness, and it's almost all wrong. As a society, I think this is the end game. We've got a generation now that they're calling Generation Z. Zoomers, I believe, is a name that's ascribed to this generation, and that may be prescient. This may be in this current United States that we have enjoyed, that we have squandered, and I'm talking to you, greatest generation, you baby boomers, and my generation, Generation X, we have squandered this country. This is it. This is Generation Z. We start over after this one. What form? I don't know. Not a particularly uplifting segment, I am aware, but the idea of being tethered to realize the stupidity and the ignorance in this society just hit me like a ton of bricks yesterday, where I just realized we're going down. Now, this is not for everybody. Your life doesn't have to be bad. If people were students of history, you can find out when there's chaos, when there's economic crisis. A lot of people make a lot of money, do really, really well. You maintain your friendships. You know, I wonder if there were a lot of really stupid people, like what I witnessed on television yesterday. Like, really, to be honest with you, sometimes I go into a Walmart, I look around, I think, how are we even functioning as a society at this point? But I like to think maybe there were a bunch of stupid people in Russia in 1991. They had a full collapse, and they somehow survived. Now, we've been hell-bent on taking them back down to square one. I've actually got a clip about that in a little bit where I'm going to take exception to something. I'm actually very disappointed in a segment that Tucker Carlson did. But I hope that there was a whole class of real idiots. You know, if you had gone back to 1991 Russia and gone out into some of the less educated areas, I guess, maybe you'd see the same kind of real ignorance and stupidity in the Russian people. Yet somehow they survived a really tumultuous time, came out the other side, and they've maintained some level of a society there. That gives me some level of hope. I don't know the Russians were stupid and ignorant to the way that many Americans have allowed themselves to get. And I saw a commercial, an old Pan Am commercial. I can't remember where I ran across this thing, but it was pretty fascinating to watch. It must have been from the 60s. And to watch this Pan Am commercial, you should see it. It's obviously not good for radio. But it was about class, and it was about comfort and luxury of flying. You know, flying was not available to everybody, so maybe there was a little bit of an elitist to it. But it showed these people enjoying a flight. They were roomy. The flight attendants were very attentive to their customers. They tried to make them happy. Now, everybody was smoking a pack of cigarettes during this commercial. Very funny to see back on airplanes. So we weren't firing on all pistons, obviously. But, you know, I juxtaposed that in my mind to what is flying today in 2022. It is waiting in line for hours until your government masters bring you up to the line to either X-ray you or molest you because you're viewed as a terrorist suspect every time you board a flight. You're then put on this tube and crammed into smaller seats where you may or may not wait on the tarmac for 4 or 5 hours with no air conditioning and no running toilets while they tell you to sit down and shut up. And if you disrupt anything, they'll kick you off and you'll be on the no-fly list. They may get you to your destination, but traveling is certainly not an exercise in class and luxury anymore. You saw these people on these old Pan Am commercials. They were all dressed nice. You know, I have a history of dressing nice on a flight because my dad worked for Delta. We almost always flew first class. So when I boarded a plane as a child, I had a blazer on. It took me the longest time as an adult, once I got out from underneath that thing, to understand you can wear jeans on a flight, Mike. I would go in and there'd be dudes on the flight in hot pants and tube tops. I mean, there is certainly no elegance. There's no appearance of class on a plane. It's whatever you woke up in, board a plane, shuffle through TSA, let them feel you up a little bit, then get on the plane, sit down, shut up, complain. Flight attendants are there to boss you around these days. Make sure you got your mask on. And don't get me started on that. I've got a study about masks that's come out. When you want to just look at the abject stupidity of what we are as a society now. Now, this is the world. This is the world, too. So maybe there's some comfort in knowing that really stupid, ignorant people are everywhere. If you look at the masking situation, maybe that's comfort. We've got in the society, we've just seen it, kids as young as 15 years old that are solving interpersonal disputes by shooting people in this country. I have the ability, the necessity sometimes to interview entry-level employees, usually younger, some older people, and constantly amazed by the fact that people come to a job interview not knowing what they should have worn, not being able to have a coherent conversation about very basic facts about their life and their work history. They are incapable of carrying on a conversation. This is after. These are not toddlers I'm talking to. I'm not interviewing newborns. These are people who have gone through 12 years of schooling, mostly public education, have been reared by, air quotes here in the studio, parents for 18 years, and they show up for a job interview late if they show up, and when they show up, they cannot discuss exactly where their school is, what their school, what they study there. They can tell you where they live. Generally, to a person, I'm kind of searching my mind, what consistent, they can generally tell you where they live. But outside of that, ask about the work history, and there's a lot of eye rolling. Well, I think I'm incapable of carrying on a conversation. I don't know if we can fix the Republican Party. It seems like a heavy lift to me. It's corrupted, and you just can't beat the money at the top of the Republican Party. You'd like to think. They do seem to be a little bit more sane. The Republicans are the white-collar criminals, where the Democrats are just kind of the criminally insane. You would like to think that the white-collar criminal party could somehow be reformed, but I just don't see it. It's just too heavy a lift. It's too entrenched. But the bottom line is that I don't know we really have the appetite to even reform these things in the first place. I don't think we have the intellectual curiosity. And I'm going to bolster this a little bit with an article about IQ. This got me, this whole idea of what I'm talking about right now got me thinking about IQ in the United States. What is IQ? Is it necessary? And what's the trend right now? The trend is not our friend. This has got me very concerned for the future of this country, if I haven't made that clear already. Be right back. You know, the big knock on a lot of conservative talk show hosts is, well, you can point out these problems, but give us solutions. You're just depressing me. I'm just being a realist. I mean, I've got solutions. I talk to them, talk about them every day. You want to fix the economy? Get rid of the Federal Reserve. Restore free markets in the United States. It's not hard. None of it's hard. Stop falling in love with politicians, thinking that they're going to help you. The political class does not care about you. I mean, I don't know if the last 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 years has not convinced you of that. But everybody's looking for this savior. They're not there in the political class today. There are some that are good, but they are bogged down in a corrupted system that we have allowed to metastasize to the state that it's at. We have to withdraw our consent from the institutions that have been running the show for a while. It's really not hard. We need a great reset. We don't need the one from the World Economic Forum, from the people that are in power right now, but we need a great reset. It just needs to be one powered by the people, not the powerful. You know, I was looking at, there's always drives to get more people engaged in the political system. We got to get more people vote. Make sure you register to vote. Rock the vote. All this other stuff. I'm of the direct opposite opinion. I think far fewer people should be allowed to vote. And one of these things is IQ. I'm going to go through IQ stuff here. I'm just on a little bit of a tear. I'm sorry, this one television show yesterday just showed me, I just don't think, and masks. If anything is showing us right now that we are not capable of independent critical thought, it is the masking of Americans. And people continuing to do this in the face of all evidence that it makes no difference. And I'm going to read you a story in a second that shows you it's actually hurting people. We can't think, you know, a lot of people say you can't think your way out of a wet paper sack. We can't think ourselves out of a dirty, dingy, disease-ridden mask. That's where we are today. This was a story. Now, it was on CNN, so it's, you know, you almost, but this story is repeated in many different places. I've talked a little bit about this before. IQ scores have been steadily falling for the past few decades, and environmental factors are to blame, a new study says. Research suggests that genes aren't what's driving the decline in IQ scores. Norwegian researchers studied this. They did mostly, Denmark, Britain, France, Netherlands, Finland, and Estonia. They've all done these trends on IQ scores. I've talked about them before. They found increases in IQ scores between up until 1975, and a steady decline among those born after 1975. Causes in IQ increases over time, and now the decline is due to environmental factors. They talk about more access to education. You know, a lot more people were literate prior to 1975, and we've kind of done a reversal on this. It's not that dumb people are having more kids and smart people, to put it crudely. It's something to do with the environment, because we're seeing the same differences within families. These environmental factors could include changes in the education system, the media environment, nutrition, reading less and being online more. And I looked up exactly what's involved in the IQ exam and just started thinking about it, you know, because, I mean, my thing is, can this thing be saved? Or are we tethered to a large swath of people that just cannot think any longer? And how does a society heal itself if the people within that society, large swaths of them, are unable to think for themselves? Verbal comprehension. Questions in the verbal comprehension section, this is an IQ test, include judging similarities between the meaning of words, identifying the definition and proper usage of vocabulary, and testing one's level of general knowledge. These assessments are meant to measure one's verbal reasoning skills, language development and use, information retrieval, and long-term memory, and intellectual curiosity, of which so many people have none. When we come to verbal comprehension, I am reminded on a daily basis that this is not taught. This is not inherent in us. It must be learned, and people are not teaching it to our kids anymore, this Generation Z. There's great kids in Generation Z. Don't get me wrong. I'm painting with a broad brush here, but there's certainly a lot of great people in this country. I'm just looking at our societal direction, not individual, but the societal direction. Can this system be fixed? Perceptual reasoning. It's meant to measure one's ability to derive knowledge from visible and perceptual information. Questions in the perceptual reasoning test, it tests one's ability to visualize objects in three dimensions and geometric reasoning skills. Working memory and processing speed. These are all the things tested in an IQ test. The current IQ, what I saw the other day was the average IQ in the United States was this. The stories I saw yesterday said 98. Most recently, I'd seen 93. This was down from 101 years ago. I don't think we can figure this out. As I said, you know, this is not an uplifting segment, we all chart our own course. Right? We're all still individuals. Whether or not they let us express that the way we want to anymore is certainly in doubt, but we are all individuals. This is not a doom and gloom type thing. Really, the smartest should rise above. If you possess some intellectual curiosity, some basic reasoning skills, you may rule over all. You may absolutely be fine, but we're going to have a lot of people slip through the cracks. We are headed towards very difficult times in this country. And the question is that within what comes out of it, as I say, Russia had a societal collapse. Their entire government collapsed in 1991 in Russia. They made it through. A lot of chaos in the 1990s. A lot of crime, a lot of corruption, a lot of problems. But they came out as a functioning and re-emerging country. Their empire was lost. And this will happen to our country as well. We will lose our empire. But many people survived and many people did very, very well. These things can happen here too. I really could go on and on about this, but I'm not going to. I want to get to a couple of things. One is on the mask. When you'd want to talk about the stupidity of a society, it is a society that continues to mask up. I would say no offense to anybody, but to be honest with you, I've kind of had it. The evidence against these things is so overwhelming. If you've been hiding from anything, or it's the lack of intellectual curiosity when you see that the United States, through all of its mandates, all of its restrictions, all of its CDC pronouncements, did the worst in the Western world. The people who do not question these institutions by this point, I'm sorry, you're left behind intellectually. I've been stupid on things. Again, I'll do shows if you want me to. We'll just take a look at my life and all the times I zigged when I should have zagged. I've done some incredibly dumb things. I have some weird character flaws where I get restless. I can be successful at something, get restless, and just abandon it and go and fail at something. There's a million things about Mike Madison that would, over the trajectory of my life, you would say, what the hell are you doing? There's plenty of those things. But our society is about to be faced with some real critical junctures. And I got to tell you, I feel like we are tethered. We're watching that show yesterday. Moving about in society, listening to political discourse in this country, I feel like we are tethered to some heavy, heavy rocks. It's not going to end well. When I come back, I'm going to get into a little bit of this mask stuff, and hopefully I got time. If I don't have time to do it today, I may have to do it tomorrow. But I had a real disappointment with the Tucker Carlson clip. I think I'll have time for it today. I got to tell you, Tucker Carlson is an intellectually curious guy. He goes against the grain. He makes me think. I like the Tucker Carlson show because when he brings up a topic, I'm not sure what he might think about it, and it's usually compelling. His reasoning on it is generally pretty good. This one was kind of disappointing, I have to say. And I'll point out why when we come back. Stay with me. What's your frequency, Ken, at the shop in Sardinia? All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I'm asking the question today, are we just too stupid to survive what's coming, to survive as a country in its current form right now? And I am positing the idea that, yes, that in fact is the case. But it's not just IQ. It's not just intelligence. There's emotional intelligence. I think there's an EQ. But there's also this weird thing about human nature, and it affects the high IQ and low IQ, which is just being subject to being manipulated and brought into cult-like behavior when large groups of people are involved. This is why I say on the individual level, I have great interactions with, and I meet new people all the time that I find interesting and fun. It's just as a society, the direction that we're headed in, with big societal shifts coming and needed in many ways, are we headed in the right direction? So there's a lot of probably high IQ people who certainly bought into the COVID cult. The problem with them is that they refuse to accept any new information. That's what's mystifying to me. I am ready to be wrong about just about anything. Everything. I've been wrong about a bunch of stuff. When it comes to the mask, you want to talk about the abject stupidity of the society at large that we bought this mask stuff. Now, it makes common sense. Look, when they first started talking about the masks, when you think about it for a nanosecond, you think, there's something I don't want to go into my mouth, into my nose, so if I put something over my mouth and my nose, it will stop that. It might help stop that. That seems to make some sense. Just on a logical basis at first blush. But as soon as you hear and understand that these masks have been around for decades, maybe centuries, but the science knows that a viral particle is so small that it is like hiding from a shotgun blast behind a chain link fence. You might knock a particle or two away, but it has no effect whatsoever. The particles are too small. A new study, face mask usage correlates with higher death rates. Using data from 35 countries and 602 million people, peer-reviewed study confirms previous research and cautions use of face masks, quote, may have harmful, unintended consequences. Now, some of us might debate the idea of unintended. We know we've got a medical system that loves you to be sick. You provide no profit to the medical system if you operate with a healthy body. Quote, positive correlation between mask usage and cases was not statistically significant, meaning that mask usage made no effect whatsoever on the number of cases. But the study also found, quote, while the correlation between mask usage and deaths was positive and significant. That is to say, more mask usage correlated with a higher death rate. This is 602 million people in 35 countries. A study also noted that the public may have gained the impression that masks could be helpful due to the fact that mandates were usually implemented after their first peak of COVID cases had passed. However, it became evident that masks were not, in fact, helpful later that same year when widespread mask usage does not appear to have mitigated the severity of the COVID wave of the winter of 2020. Moreover, the study concludes, quote, the moderate positive correlation between mask usage and deaths, meaning that the more mask usage, the more deaths. Do you understand positive correlation? In Western Europe, also suggests that the universal use of masks may have had harmful, unintended consequences. Mask usage is correlated with higher death rates. It's not only that it's not effective, it's actually harming you. It's harming our children. For the love of God, people were masking their children willingly. Probably some high IQ people. I don't know what that is about human nature. We've been talking about some of the experiments done on human nature. Everybody else is doing it, so I better do it too. And then you justify in your mind to make it okay. It's just a shame that we had to torture our kids in order to make you feel better about your choices. But a society, you know, you couple the Jerry Springer society we're raising, you couple that with what we've seen over the last 2 years of people just refusing to admit that everything that was recommended by the CDC was just a big swing and a miss, from the masks to the wiping down your groceries to the plexiglass to the lockdowns to the vaccines, air quotes in the studio around that term. The evidence is in, and people still refuse to see it. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to come back. This Tucker Carlson clip, I want to go ahead and get it in today. There's not many times I really take issue with Tucker Carlson. I think he does a great job on Fox News. He offers something very different in mainstream media. But I think it was a big swing and a miss on this one. It kind of, it was worth responding to. We'll do that when we come back. Stay with us. You can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. We're the Renegades, it is Atomic Age. All right, I'm kind of talking about the stupidity, the ignorance of Americans. There's one thing that I think drives a lot of real stupidity in this country, and it's partisanship. And Tucker Carlson's one of the best on this issue because he realizes that both of these parties, neither one of them's there for you. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican. You are just a foot soldier in a war between the powerful. That's all you are. And so I was a little disappointed to hear this from Tucker Carlson yesterday. And I saw this subject line. It was kind of clickbait for me. It says, Tucker, this is a YouTube video. This is why Democrats are taking us to war with Russia. And he makes some great points. I'm cutting into this 2 minutes, 45 seconds in, where he talks about the fact that the Democrats would not accept the results of the 2016 election, and so they decided to implicate Vladimir Putin in the election. They just went nutso with this. We know it had no basis in fact whatsoever. It was excuse-making. He's dead on right about all that. But then he starts to talk about it like this, and I'm going to take some exception with it.
Democrats have convinced themselves that Russia stole the presidency, which rightfully belonged to Hillary Clinton, and they mean it when they say it. And that's why they are taking us to war with Russia. Now, there are a lot of things going on here, a lot of threads, as in any big story, but on some level, the core motivation is just that simple. Here's what we know it's not. We know the war in Ukraine is not about saving democracy. Please. We know it's not about protecting the sacred borders of a sovereign country. We know the Biden administration doesn't care about those principles because they run our country and we see how they act. And we know for dead certain, and this comes as sad news to a lot of Americans who are compassionate, but we know now that the war in Ukraine is certainly not about helping the Ukrainian people, those poor people. Many more Ukrainian civilians will die, certainly, thanks to the Biden administration's policies. If you wanted to save Ukraine, its people, its infrastructure, its nation, you would push for a settlement now. You would have done it 2 months ago, but they're not doing that. They've rejected it out of hand. So that's not their goal, saving Ukraine, saving human lives. No, that's not their goal. Instead, the war in Ukraine is designed to cause regime change in Moscow. They want to topple the Russian government. That would be payback for the 2016 election.
All right, so there's Tucker's thesis. Now, here's where I draw some exception. And this idea that it is the Democrats, obviously they're in charge right now, and their Russia hysteria is absolutely insane and ridiculous. But has Tucker Carlson not heard from Mike Pompeo? He was on the world stage for 4 years as Secretary of State. Well, first CIA head spook under Donald Trump, and then our Secretary of State. Has Tucker Carlson not heard Mike Pompeo talk about Russia for the last 4 years? What about Lindsey Graham, who went to Ukraine years ago? This was, I believe, in 2015. He went to, long before the 2016 elections, Lindsey Graham, the Republican soy boy senator from South Carolina, went to Ukraine and told them they'd give them whatever they needed to kill as many Russians as possible. Has he not heard Roger Wicker's statements about Russia? Has he not heard Donald Trump, who sanctioned Russia endlessly, especially around Nord Stream 2, for 4 years? Has Tucker Carlson not heard Sean Hannity, who follows his show, talk about Russia and Vladimir Putin and the need to get tough with him and to ship in weapons and face off with Vladimir Putin. Now, I don't blame Tucker if he does not listen to the Sean Hannity show. It is quite objectionable television. And Sean Hannity is either a mental midget or so wildly corrupted to try to convince conservatives to get on board with the hate Russia World War III narrative. But it is not simply the Democrats taking us to war with Russia. This is a Republican obsession just as well. There's a million reasons to be disgusted by the Democratic Party, no doubt about it. And their hostility towards Russia is certainly one of them. They are a part of this. But Republicans, since the 1990s, have also been cheering the expansion of NATO that Russia said was a no-go for them, was eventually going to force them into doing something. This is not a partisan issue. This is a warmonger, war profiteer issue. And couching it in partisan lines, I think, is one of those things that drives ignorance in America. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Wednesday. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, I do a segment called Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use, where I try to encourage people to take control of their own health. There's two parts to this show. One is I try to point out the obvious corruption and conflicts of interest within our healthcare system that should destroy your faith in the establishment. You look around at the health of Americans, and it is undeniable that we are in worse shape than we've ever been. And it declines decade after decade. I talked about intelligence last hour. I'll talk about health this hour. Look around. We are on the whine and wait tract. Everybody likes to whine about all of their health problems and then wait for some doctor to give them some kind of a prescription, which causes other problems. They whine about that and wait until something is cured. You don't have to do that. You can take control of your own health and do what I explain is escape the medical system. I'm going to talk today, if you or somebody that you love has got asthma, very interesting segment on that, along with some testimonials about people that reversed their asthma after decades. Asthma is one of those things where people believe they just, God doesn't love them, gave them an asthmatic body, and that's just the way things are. Again, nutrition comes in to save the day for anybody willing to put in the work. I start every show by explaining to you I'm not a doctor, not a scientist, not a biologist, not a virologist, not an immunologist, not a surgeon, not a nurse, not a therapist. I'm not a nothing. I've got no certifications to advise you on your health. I'm just trying to show you that there is another approach out there, and it is largely through nutrition, as we'll discuss in the asthma section, and maybe other breathing problems as well. There was a funny tweet that somebody sent out. This woman sent one out. She said, you know, said, there's a commercial on TV. And she says, me as a kid, hey, I have that toy. Now me as an adult, hey, I'm on that medication. I think that about says it all. That's the lot in life for most people. When it comes to the hospitals, I've talked a lot here lately about the hospitals. Hospitals made a lot of money during COVID. They freaked you out sufficiently, and then they raked in the dough. They're also up to some other things, and this is that segment of my show where I try to just destroy your faith in the medical system.
Joining us right now, the president and CEO of OpenTheBooks.com, Adam Andrzejewski. Adam, good morning to you. Great to see you.
Good morning, Jan.
Let's talk about this investigation conducted by the nonprofit Patients' Rights Advocate Group that found three of the largest for-profit hospital chains made $120 billion in 2021 while violating federal transparency law. So, Adam, talk us through this. What are these transparency rules? What does that entail?
So it's great common sense rulemaking that spans a couple of administrations. It's a great example of bipartisan healthcare reform, Jan. So the Trump administration proposed and executed on a rule where hospitals, for the first time in history, would be mandated to post their prices for services. Now, this wouldn't be revolutionary if this was at the grocery store or at the gas station. You know, we would never buy a loaf of bread without seeing the prices, but that's how we buy healthcare. And the Biden administration last fall finalized that rule. And here's what it did. It took the healthcare industry, and the best analogy on this is like a baseball game. The healthcare industry was blindfolding the patients, the batter, while running up the score at will, and that was the prices, and they were making big profits.
And Adam, this rule is supposed to promote competition between hospitals, as you mentioned, so patients can shop around to find the best deal for medical procedures. But your own investigation that you conducted back in 2019, studying nonprofit healthcare providers, found that these hospitals that got major tax breaks for their nonprofit status did the same thing. What did you find?
Well, we found these nonprofit hospitals, 82 of the largest in the country, that serve one out of every seven patients in the country. These nonprofit hospitals were racking up big profits. Jan, 2 points on the record. Number one, their return on investment in 2019 was 24%, and they had hundreds of billions of dollars worth of net assets on their balance sheets. Number two, their CEOs were getting rich while the American people were getting healthcare poorer. In some of the largest nonprofit groups, we found that the CEOs over a four-year period, like at Ascension, were making up to $59 million of cash compensation. The CEO of Kaiser made $30 million in that four-year period of cash compensation. Advocate Healthcare in Illinois, their CEO made $27 million worth of compensation. So these nonprofits oftentimes were making big profits.
Yeah, the hospitals, they just love you. They're just there for your health. Pay no attention. Pay no attention to the money sloshing around at it. This show is the Harriet Tubman attempt to help you escape the medical system. That's who you're putting your lives in the hands of right there. They won't put pricing out. Isn't that interesting? We would buy no other products ever anywhere without knowing the price of them. But for some reason, medicine has just convinced us that we really don't need to know those things, even though it's the leading cause of bankruptcy in the United States for healthcare. In the face of that, Congress is acting. And this is amazing. I've got a couple of stories here to show you that that the government is actually actively trying to make people sicker. Senator Dick Durbin, he's a Democrat from Illinois. He's introduced supplement regulation threatening 41,000 supplements moving forward on multiple fronts. The story is from Americans for Natural Health. It says, here's what we know. Senator Mike Braun, for any of you out there thinking those dastardly Democrats are trying to sabotage our health, here's what we know. Senator Mike Braun, Republican from Indiana, has agreed to join Senator Durbin in introducing a bill to require mandatory product registration for supplements just a couple of days ago. They gave a speech on the floor. Anyway, they are going, and this has been going on for years and years, the natural health people see, because supplements don't have the billions and billions and billions of dollars that the big pharma has to go through the regulatory process. But they're trying to force that on supplement makers. Now, maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, Mike, we need these politicians to step in and regulate the supplement market. It's Wild West out there. We need them to protect us. Well, let's see how deadly supplements have been. We're talking about fish oil, vitamin D, vitamin C, ashwagandha, all of the supplement market. Why are more supplement regulations such a priority for the federal authorities? Supplements are overwhelmingly safe. According to the FDA, in 2021, the agency received 2,400 adverse event reports related to dietary supplements. To put this in context, according to the FDA's adverse event database, in 2021, the FDA received a total of 2,333,453 adverse event reports. That means that dietary supplements made up 0.1% of the adverse events reported to the FDA. National reports consistently show zero deaths from dietary supplements, according to the FDA's database. In 2021 alone, drugs killed 187,750 Americans. That supplements are the products getting federal attention speaks to the power of anyone, drug industry lobby, and the willingness of elected officials and the FDA officials to do their bidding. They're going after nutritional supplements. They have 2,400 adverse events related to nutritional supplements, and about 2,330,000 adverse events for pharmaceutical drugs. Now, these pharmaceutical drugs are the ones that are regulated, right? Supposedly, they put all this money into R&D and go through the FDA hoops, So you would think that they would be the safer ones and the nutritional supplements would be the more dangerous ones. Yet the exact opposite is taking place. And so your Congress is coming after nutritional supplements instead because they are big pharma whores. There was a study, too. Let's see. I'm going to have to find this story. Yeah, here it is. As I say, this is your own government coming after, trying to actually make people sicker and take away the things that can actually improve your health. This is this part of my show where I try to explain to you the game that's being played on you. Amos Miller's private food club members say they don't want their grass-fed meat treated with chemical preservatives required by all USDA-approved processing plants. Amos Miller, he is an Amish farmer, says he is being persecuted by the federal government for practicing his religious freedom to raise and prepare food the way he believes God intended food to be raised and prepared in accordance with nature. Miller practices rotational grazing on a small, holistically managed, century-old farm in Bird in Hand, Pennsylvania. His heritage breeds cows are raised on organic pastures with the chickens following behind, eating the bugs from their droppings, and way-fed pigs trampling all the fertilizer into the ground after that. Around 4,000 customers at his private members-only food buying club are dependent on his meat, eggs, and dairy products, as well as fermented fruits and veggies, and are unwilling to spend top dollar to get it shipped to them all over the country as they don't want that kind of stuff from the food big ag. But a couple of weeks ago, a federal judge told Miller to cease and desist all meat sales and sent armed U.S. marshals to search his property, farm store, and freezers. They took an inventory of all of his meat to make sure he doesn't sell any or slaughter any more animals. Last summer, the judge also ordered Miller to pay $250,000 for, quote, contempt of court, and said he will also have to pay the salaries of the USDA meat inspectors assigned to his case, $50,000 of which was due last week, as a good faith payment to avoid jail. And the court's next hearing on Miller's case, actually, it took place on April 12th. I don't know how that turned out. Do you understand? This is an Amish farmer. 4,000 people signed up to get his high-quality, holistically raised, grass-fed beef. The government couldn't have that because they do the bidding of the big food companies. The government is actively trying to sabotage your health. One more story about that when we come back, and then we're going to get into some of this asthma stuff because it's quite amazing. If anybody that you know, that you love, or yourself is having breathing difficulties or been diagnosed with asthma, and you've got your inhaler, and you're just told this is your lot in life, there may be some hope for you. I think it's an empowering segment. We'll do it in just a few minutes. All right, to finish up on my first segment of the show, which is how they are actively trying to harm your health and take away things like nutritional supplements that actually help millions and millions of people with virtually no harm, replacing them with the pharmaceuticals that cause great harm. They also are doing worthless things as well for profit. And I ran across this story, an old topic on this show, a constant topic on this show. But when another study comes out, I'll make sure that I bring it to you. Antidepressants are no better at making people feel happier than taking no medication at all, a study claimed today. Patients on the drugs did not have a significantly better quality of life compared to depressed people who were not on the pills, the analysts found. Researchers looked at 17.5 million U.S. adults with depression over 10 years, half of them on medication and half of them not on medication. Results showed a slight improvement in mental health in both groups, regardless of whether they were on antidepressants. And this was from the Daily Mail. They said National Health Services doctors are already moving away from prescribing the drugs, which can have long-lasting side effects, and they are now recommending clinical treatment instead, psychological treatment instead. And they just looked at this and just another big swing and a miss. These antidepressants come with a ton of different side effects, and I have implicated them, and they have been shown to be in the system of a large number of these kids who shoot up schools. But the most telling thing about them is that they're just like diet sodas. They do nothing, absolutely nothing. There's not even a placebo effect, apparently, with these things. If you want to end your depression, things like meditation, proper gut balance of your bacteria in your gut can affect your mood, and a good nutritional diet is certainly better for you than an antidepressant. But yet that's what's pushed on people with all of their side effects. There was also this study just makes me, oh, what we did to our children during COVID. This is from the Defender, Children's Health Defense Network. Incidence of early puberty has surged since the start of the COVID pandemic and is affecting children at ages that are historically unprecedented. Many children diagnosed with slow progressing early puberty also experienced an acceleration of pubertal progression during and or after lockdown. Early puberty can have serious consequences for those affected. It's been linked to a higher risk for depression, eating disorders, substance abuse, and antisocial behavior. Cause for the unprecedented rise in early puberty is unknown, but experts suspect it has to do with lifestyle changes related to lockdowns, such as stress, which we projected onto our children, elevated electromagnetic field exposure. This is kids sitting around with their electronics in the house all day, an unhealthy diet, low physical activity, increased obesity, elevated exposure to endocrine disrupting chemicals in the home, and poor sleep. Several COVID-19 clinical trials, this goes into something else entirely, but according to recent data, the incidence of early puberty has surged since the start of the COVID pandemic. It's also affecting children historically unprecedented ages. They start talking about girls as young as 5 years old going through puberty, and these cases skyrocketing. This topic actually is what got me started on my journey with natural health stuff. I read studies back in the early 2000s about little girls going into puberty early and started doing just the tiniest bit of research because I had a 4-year-old daughter that I didn't want that to happen to. And one of the things that was implicated was a bunch of the chemicals in the food. It could be the fluoride. I don't know what it was, but I cut a bunch of it out and changed our diet. And magically, everybody in the family started getting wildly healthier. And my children did not experience early onset puberty, but this topic is what, and then it just trickled on. I realized all the nagging health conditions I had, insomnia, headaches, stomach problems, constantly getting sick, all of those problems just went away for me too when I changed our diet. But the lockdowns have come in, and we know exactly what we put through kids through during lockdowns. We stressed them out. We took them away from their friends. We plopped them on a couch or in their bed in front of electronics. We fed them garbage food just to get them to not complain about any good nutrition. I mean, we did everything exactly opposite of what we should have done during what was described as this horrific pandemic, and this is just another knock-on effect of it. I mean, the hits just keep on coming with following the advice of the CDC, the Thomas Dobbs, the Anthony Faucis of the world. I mean, the consequences, these things just keep stacking up higher and higher. We need to keep these in mind because I don't believe they're done with us. They will come back again for another round of these things. All right, I'm going to take a break and come back. We'll start getting into some more positive stuff. If you suffer from asthma, know somebody who does, other breathing difficulties, I'm going to play a clip. It's a lengthy one. It's got a lot of explanation in it from a Dr. Ken Berry. I'm not a doctor, but I bring them on air constantly, where he talks about ways to mitigate and apparently reverse asthma. And one of the things I'm going to do with this is read some of the comments on this piece that he put out, and they are stunning, and hopefully they can give you some hope if you or a child or somebody that you know has got asthma and think that this is something you're stuck with for the rest of your life. A nutritional change may be in order. Be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We're doing our regular Wednesday segment, Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. I am always wondering what the American healthcare system or, you know, what Americans could do if they were educated on nutritional stuff rather than barraged by pharmaceutical ads on television. We know that medicine is, you know, one of the most expensive things people get involved with, whether it's your insurance, visits to the hospital can bankrupt you for even a small injury or just chronic diseases. There's so many of them and they're all on the rise. The medical establishment just allows this to happen and they don't seem to stop and want to do anything different. It's just cut, burn, and poison. You're going to get sick, and when you get sick, we're here for you. That I cannot imagine the change that could be within our society if people understood that so much of what we're suffering from is nutritional deficiencies or eating the wrong things. Now, there's a lot of diseases out there where people just think, well, I've got these, and I'm constantly amazed. I don't care if it's diabetes, particularly type 2 diabetes, whether it is cancers, autoimmune issues. There are great documentaries out there on people who suffer from these things reversing their conditions with nutrition. These things are scientifically studied. It's just that they're not multi-billion-dollar corporations behind these essentially cures or strategies to reverse things because they're just nutritional advice. Can't patent nutritional advice. You can sell books, but people don't read. So it's not the money is on the side of just constantly treating diseases, but I'm constantly amazed at the things that people get diagnosed with at some point in their life that they feel like, I am this. I am somebody who suffers from autoimmune problems because my body is flawed, so I will be on X, Y, and Z medications for the rest of my life. I have X allergies, and asthma is one of these things. People say, well, I'm an asthmatic. I carry an inhaler. I can't do this. I can't do that. My kids can't do sports because we suffer from asthma like you drew the asthma card when you were born and you're just going to be an asthmatic for the rest of your life. And I've never really studied this. Nobody in my family has asthma, but I have run around a lot of young kids that tell me that they have got asthma. Even some of them are athletes and they talk about their struggles with asthma. And so it seemed to be kind of prevalent recently. And then I ran across this video by Dr. Ken Berry. He is an MD, where I am not, but he is one of these natural health doctors out there putting out a ton of great information online for how you can reclaim your health as well. And I'm going to play this clip from him about asthma and diet, and hopefully if you or somebody that you know or love suffers from it, maybe they will take some advice, put a little bit of work in. It does take a little bit of effort, but maybe they can ditch their inhaler. And then I'm going to come back, I'm going to read some of the comments that were on this video, just to show you what people around the world are doing. They're reversing. People are reversing chronic health problems every day. Every single day, they are escaping the medical system and freeing themselves from what have been considered by many physicians as lifelong illnesses. They're regaining their health and taking it back into their own hands. This is Dr. Ken Berry.
Do you suffer from the symptoms of asthma? Wheezing, coughing, tightness, shortness of breath? If you do, I think you should watch this video until the very end because it's going to help you a lot to improve those symptoms. You're not alone with asthma. There are over 300 million people on this planet currently suffering from the symptoms of asthma, whether it be mild intermittent or chronic persistent asthma. It's really awful to have asthma and suffer from these symptoms. This video is going to help you. You may have been told by a doctor or respiratory therapist that it's just your genetics. There's nothing you can do about it. You may have contemplated whether you're allergic to air and everything in it because seemingly out of nowhere, you have an asthma attack and you have to reach for an inhaler. You may use one inhaler a day or two or three to control your current asthma symptoms. Hopefully, after you learn this information I'm about to teach you, those symptoms will slowly but surely get better. Now, I'm going to ask a favor of all the people out there who have used a ketogenic diet to improve or completely reverse their asthma symptoms. I need your help. I need you to tell your story in the comments because there are millions of people out there with asthma who have never heard of keto or the power that it has to improve your symptoms. So I suspect many newcomers are going to be coming to this video going, wait, what's keto? How does changing my diet help my lungs? please tell your story in the comments and feel free to answer the comments of newcomers who haven't heard about this powerful strategy yet. I'm Dr. Ken Berry, a family physician with 20 years of taking care of patients with asthma, just like you. And during the early years of my practice, I had no idea that diet was such a huge part of taking care of asthma.
He didn't have any idea that diet was such a huge part in taking care of asthma like anything else because it's not taught in medical schools. Your diet is not covered. Nutrition is not covered in medical schools. It is a crime against humanity that that's the case. But again, we live in a system that is about profits and not health.
Now I know, and I'm going to share what I've learned with you. There are copious amounts of research study in the medical literature that show without a doubt that having insulin resistance or hyperinsulinemia is very tightly correlated with having asthma. This is true for adults, but it's also true for teenagers and even children with asthma. You don't have to be obese, although that is also tightly correlated. You don't have to be fat. You just have to have chronically high levels of insulin in your blood. And you might say, what causes my insulin to be high all the time? It's from your diet. And that's why the ketogenic diet is such an amazingly powerful tool to reverse asthma symptoms. The second thing that asthma sufferers like you have is chronic inappropriate inflammation. And definitely we're focusing on the inflammation in your airways in this video, but most people who eat an improper diet have inflammation all over their body that's inappropriate and chronic. And so when you start to remove the offending agents from your diet, this chronic inappropriate inflammation starts to subside. Now, as an asthmatic, you can understand if you decrease the levels of chronic inappropriate inflammation in your lungs, how much would that help your symptoms? So that's why I'm making this video, is to help you understand that the diet you're currently eating is causing your insulin levels to be chronically high and also causing chronic inflammation in your lungs and in other places of your body. This is why a ketogenic diet is so powerful. A ketogenic diet is a very low carbohydrate diet. So when you're eating a high carbohydrate diet that your dietitian may have even recommended for you, you're causing spikes in your blood sugar multiple times a day with each meal and each snack. When your blood sugar goes up, your insulin level has to go up to meet that level of blood sugar and try to bring it back down to normal. These chronically high insulin levels or high insulin spikes are part of the reason that you're having such severe asthma symptoms. And then secondly, eating inflammatory foods like grains, like sugar, like low-fat or skim dairy, like vegetable oils. And if you look at your current diet, that's probably the majority of what you're eating and what you're told to eat. These things have inflammatory effects on all the tissues in your body, but especially in the lungs as well. So if you're sick and tired of having to have an inhaler with you everywhere you go, in your purse, in the glove box, in your backpack, please, I want you to try a 90-day ketogenic diet challenge. What's it going to hurt to eat keto for 90 days? And at the end of that 90 days, if your asthma symptoms are markedly better, which I predict they'll be, then you've learned something and you've learned how to control your asthma and not need as many inhalers and not need an inhaler as often as you currently do. I want you to do keto properly and not be distracted by all of the manufacturers out there that have keto shakes, keto powders. A ketogenic diet, make no mistake, is a real food, whole food, one ingredient diet. And so ribeye, that's keto. Broccoli, that's keto. Cashews, that's keto. But what's not keto is Slim Fast shakes and other shakes and bars and powders and supplements. You don't need exogenous ketones at all to do keto right. I'm going to pop up at the end of this video my Keto 101 playlist, which is going to make it very simple for you to understand what is a ketogenic diet and how do I do it. I think that if you'll try this 90-day challenge at the end, you're going to be very happy, very pleased with your results, and you may even have forgotten where you put that blasted inhaler.
So there you go. Now, I don't do this as another, we've talked a lot about keto. I do keto probably several times a year. I like the way it makes me feel. If you're looking to drop some weight, I don't think there's anything that compares to a ketogenic diet. Just from the people I've recommended it to, I slimmed up after I just changed my diet and got a bunch of the processed garbage out of my diet. I started to maintain a healthy weight years and years and years ago before I ever really started studying what a high-fat, low-carb diet was. But what's amazing is that the mechanisms of it, and keto has become such a fad word, I don't even really... It's kind of weird. I don't like to talk about it. If people ask me, you know, if I go out to eat with people and they say, hey, you want this or that? One thing I hate, I just repel from is saying, well, no, I'm eating keto. It sounds like such a fad, such a Beverly Hills housewife thing to say, but there is great evidence around it. And I thought it was very interesting that it can be connected to asthma as well. It's all about reducing the inflammation in your body, and inflammation is what is causing a lot of diseases, autoimmune issues. Inflammation is kind of the big boogeyman in your body, and our diets just promotes it over and over and over again. You know, he said something in that video, and when I come back in just a second, I'm going to read you some testimonials, some people's comments on this video, just to show you what regular people are doing out there in the world every single day. We have, as I've referred to many times, learned helplessness in this society. We are told by the medical establishment, this is your diagnosis, this is who you are now, deal with it. We've got medications to control the symptoms, you'll take them for the rest of your life. Yet every single day, thousands of people are reversing conditions that they were told were chronic, lifelong conditions, and they're doing it through nutrition. He says something in the video. He says, hopefully you've at least learned something. And that's really the thing about this show. You know, I've told my kids when they went off to college, I thought about my diet in college. And I said, oh, you're going to eat a bunch of crap when you go to school. There's no doubt about it. I'm not under any illusions that I have set my kids up to where they're going to eat the way that I want them to eat every single day as young adults. They're busy. They're stressed. They're going to parties. They're doing those kinds of things. But what I said was you've got the tools to understand that anytime you start feeling bad, if you want to feel better, you can. Almost like flipping a switch. You know, they know what they need to do. It's going to be diet related. It's going to be supplement related. They can fix whatever is wrong with them. And that's, I've given them those tools. My son in particular still employs a lot of that stuff right now. But it's all about learning something, and this idea that we're labeled with the disease and we just consider ourselves that for the rest of our lives is just such a misdirection. And we're just convinced of these things, and I continue to say it's about profit. If you reverse a condition that you're being treated from, you are no longer a lifelong patient. And that's a large loss of revenue to a lot of people. I'm not implicating every doctor, every nurse, every hospital administrator. There's a lot of people out there that love people. They're just trapped in a system, been trained by a system that has convinced them that this is the way to go, that medical advancement is all done at the pharmaceutical level, and returning to our roots of eating real food is not important. They just believe that. They've been taught that. They refuse to see the evidence to the contrary. The people that I'm going to talk about when we come back are going to show you what average, ordinary people are doing to reclaim their health every single day. Be right back. This is Captain America calling. I bailed you out when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling. All right, final segment on today's show. One of the things Dr. Barry talked about when he talked about keto was understanding don't buy all the prepackaged keto all over the label of the bag or the box. And that if you really want to eat a healthy diet and reverse these conditions, lose weight, feel great, you need to use real food. You can have steak. You can have bacon. If you get bacon, get one without the nitrates and nitrites on it, in it. You can have vegetables, you can have broccoli, you can have nuts, you can have great food. I love it. I miss nothing when I'm eating a high-fat, low-carb diet. I like avocados. Some people don't. Maybe you like fish. You can have tuna. There's all kinds of good things. But he said, get good quality food, not a bunch of prepackaged stuff. I am thrilled to death that there's a new sponsor on this show that is Stonington Farm Beef. Stonington Farm is down in Perkiston. Am I saying that right? Mississippi? They're down in South Mississippi. I've been talking to them for a couple of years, just gotten to know the farmers down there. And they want to open up the Jackson Market. And they will ship up here for free. This is bulk meat. You're actually buying parts of a cow. You can check out their website at stoningtonfarm.com. Here's why I'm so excited about it. It is not only about eating, you know, a higher fat and protein diet and restricting your carbs, but get a good quality meat when you do it. And that's what Stonington Farm does. This is 100% grass-fed beef, the way God intended cattle to graze. They are a small, locally owned farm down there. They got 430 acres. It sounds like heaven. I got to get down there and check out this farm. Stonington Farms, family-owned, 430-acre, 100% grass-fed cattle farm located in Perkiston, Mississippi. They believe in the responsible family farming model developed by their owners there, Michael and Katie Stonington. They're great people, and they have a love for farming and a love for producing good quality food. Now, there's also budgetary things. You buy in bulk, you get a good quality thing. We see what's happening to meat prices in the markets. I know some of their costs have gone up as well, but when you buy in bulk, you're going to save money too. You can get together with the rest of your family and load up on this stuff, or if you've got a freezer, you can get good quality meat from them. But again, you can find them, stoningtonfarm.com, stoningtonfarm.com. I have had their meat. It tastes fantastic. You may not remember what actually a good steak, good ground beef tastes like because you are so used to the commercial stuff now, with these big CAFO food lots where they cram these cows in there and feed them a bunch of antibiotic food and grains just to fatten them up really fast. A good grass-fed cow, it's absolutely fantastic meat. Again, stoningtonfarm.com. We've already had people emailing the station asking about them. Make sure that you tell them that Mike Madison, WYEB, sent you. Check them out. All right, I'm going to finish up on this real quick. I'm going to read some comments under Dr. Barry's video about reducing asthma symptoms just to show you. I hope this is empowering. And this is, I could do this for just about every condition. There's all kinds of people out there reclaiming their health from diabetes, from autoimmune disorders, just through nutrition. This is Christine Rulin. I've had inhaled cortisone for years. My first time before I was 20 years old and almost constantly from 35 to 45. Was told that was the only thing I could do. Once I started my keto journey, mostly thanks to your videos talking about Dr. Barry, I not only lost roughly 50 pounds postmenopausal, but I was also able to ditch my inhaler. Now I only need it when I cheat. One roll in a restaurant and I wheeze like the old days. Organic sourdough bread from an artisan baker, she lives in Europe, every once in a while does not cause any problems, so I suspect that it's not only the insulin spike, but probably also the low-quality, high-treated wheat that is being used in most modern bread. This is a Keith Kibler commented under this video. Amen and absolutely, talking about reversing asthma with nutrition. Born with severe asthma, on 2 to 5 meds a day for 42 years. Took so much steroids it gave me severe HPA axis dysfunction, also known as adrenal fatigue syndrome. 2 years of keto and 18 months intermittent fasting and prayer later, cured of both asthma and adrenal fatigue, and lost 50 pounds. Now doing CrossFit and dreaming of Senior Olympics in 200 and 400-yard sprints. No asthma meds in 2020. None. Here's Scott Rakowski. I've been doing keto for about a year and a half. Have had asthma since a child. Started keto, got rid of insulin resistance, and found that asthma went away for the most part. Really works great. Rosa Carvoni. Yes, I started keto to lose weight, but it also got rid of my asthma. I was afflicted with asthma at 25 out of the blue. Looking back, I was eating very poorly and had gained quite a bit of weight. I'm now 56 and have not needed any inhalers for 3 years. My doctor is still amazed how clear my lungs are. I have so much less overall inflammation on keto. Try it. You won't be sorry. Here's another one. I'm going to read several of these things. This is from a guy named Andy. Dr. Ken, I've been following your advice for the last 5 weeks, and my asthma that I've had all my life, and I'm 50, has completely gone. In fact, it was about 3 weeks in when I commented to my wife, quote, hey, I haven't used my inhaler for days. Simply amazing. As well as that, I've seen astounding differences elsewhere. My arthritis, gone. I've lost 19 pounds. My psoriasis, almost gone. Brain fog, gone. Not only that, I feel 100% alert, like I'm 20 again. In fact, I'm more creative at work and my attention span is truly fantastic. Dr. Ken, I've said this before on previous videos, but I'll say it again. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. And here's another one. Their name on YouTube was Epi Epi. Dr. Barry, thanks for coming into my life. I'm 54 years old, was 205 pounds at 5'7". I started keto in January and I've been maintaining at 153 to 155 for several months now. I've been an asthmatic all my life and used to take Advair on a daily basis for years. Since keto, it's like a miracle. Asthma-free, no Advair. Cannot thank you enough for turning my life around. Thanks again. These stories go on and on. There was one more here. So they said, yep, when I did keto for a month, noticed my asthma was better. I was diagnosed at age 9 with asthma. And it only happens, it's talking about cardio and stuff. I don't have time to get into this. This is a long comment, but it's just another person. This is Brandy Betts on YouTube that are commenting on this video that she did this, and now she is exercising. Now she's running long distances. Asthma is gone. A lot of people out there, you don't have asthma. It's 300 million people worldwide out of a planet with 7 billion people. But this is a story of how nutrition changes lives and frees people from these diseases. It's the food. It's the food. It's what you're putting in your body. Doesn't matter if it's asthma. We've done these stories about autism and autoimmune disorders as well. Get your nutrition in line and your health will follow. That's all the time I got. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.